Good afternoon, YDDL. It is time to close out our preseason podcast. I am your host and co-commissioner, Chris Schultzer. I'm joined, as always, by your co-commissioner, co-host, co-everything, makes co-jokes. His name is Alex Eifler. Alex, how you doing?
I am preparing for the barbecue. I think today is going to be a tasty one.
Oh, yes. We went with the barbecue analogy last time, and the league has taken it up over email. I especially like Jesse's comment about the potato salad with raisins. And it
I think raisins have a place in exactly one salad, and it's the carrot and raisin salad.
No, even and that's the whole, terrible.
It doesn't have to be good, but I'm saying the whole point is that they belong there. Like, all of the raisins should clearly go into the carrot and raisin salad. The other salads should be raisinless.
See,
I will accept grapes in a chicken salad, but that's it.
I also have a raisin take, and my raisin take is that the only place they belong is in Raisin Bran Crunch. Even Raisin Bran, I don't want. Raisin Bran Crunch, it's okay.
You're against raisins?
No, by themselves, they're fine. I just don't want them mixed in with anything.
So you wouldn't even accept them in like a sweet dish, like a kugel?
No.
Because I think they're fantastic in a kugel.
No, I don't want that.
Oh, my favorite noodle kugel. Speaking of Jewish recipes, and Joe, you can listen in on this. Definitely lots of cheesy ingredients and raisins. Delicious.
Wait, what?
It's a noodle kugel. So it's a noodle pudding with a lot of dairy, and the dairy kind of holds it together, and raisins for sweetness. It's great. So cinnamon on top. Oh, it's so good.
Rice pudding, noodle pudding. I don't want any of these puddings. Like, the only pudding that I want is like butterscotch pudding. We keep the rest
of
it out.
It's a kugel, and you've got the goyish taste. I can't help it.
No, I love plenty of Jewish cuisine. I really do. In fact, I think that the brisket is really underrated, and matzo ball soup is to die for.
When we're talking about brisket, by the way, and corned beef as well, I think the Jews do it so much better than the Irish. It's not even funny.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Anyway, we could talk about food all day. I have a feeling we're going to be referencing it a little bit more as this cast goes on, but we have five teams to get through in order to get through the preseason here. If my memory serves correctly, and we did prepare a little bit, so I think we're talking Salim, Drew, Jesse, and then we'll move over to the Cat Division and talk about your team and Star's team. So not exactly the highlights of our league. Some of these teams are still rebuilding or maybe starting a rebuild, but a couple of them are misplaced. You know, Drew's, you could make a case that he has one of the stronger rosters still, even though it's super old. Jesse clearly does have a good roster. We'll get to it. Should we start with Salim? Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah. You want me to give an overview? Because I think Salim has done a fairly good job at acquiring some young pieces. He's got some very kind of, I'll say, foundational talents in Justin Herbert and Najee Harris. I think the two of them are going to anchor that team for a while. I think if Kenneth Walker can come back from injury, and if the Seahawks are going to run it as much as they say they're going to run it, it's going to be harder to, like, you might see two of the higher touch backs on his team in Kenneth Walker and Najee Harris. I don't know exactly what the plan between Elijah Penny and Kenneth Walker is when they're both healthy.
You mean
right now they're not both healthy.
Rashad Penny.
What did I say?
Elijah Penny.
Oh, sorry. You're right. Rashad Penny. Yeah. In for a penny, in for a... anyway, I also think he's got some decent talent elsewhere, but this is a team that looked a lot better a few years ago. David Montgomery and Michael Carter, you know, are fine. I think Naheem Harris might give him some good touches this year on the Colts at running back. There really isn't a lot here at wide receiver. Cortland Sutton has yet to make the leap. He may make the leap with Russell Wilson there. Allen Robinson is in a new location in LA this year, and we'll see if he can recapture some of his 2015 heroics, which now seems like an eternity ago when he was catching the ball from Blake Bortles. He's got another pass catcher from LA in Tyler Higbee. And then he's got Mike Williams too. So he's got a bunch of guys who are very large. I don't think anyone in the league has a bigger wide receiver core than Mike Williams, Allen Robinson, Cortland Sutton. I'm just not sure that they're going to be high producers. What's your take on this starting lineup?
So I find that there are plenty of individual parts on this team that I'm very fond of. And that I think Salim he's collected almost like an island of misfit toys where they're really interesting in some ways. Obviously Herbert and Harris are nobody dislikes them, but let's put it this way. I think Sutton could be great this year coming back off the injury and now with the Russell Wilson upgrade. I love Allen Robinson this year, but I wouldn't say it's a guarantee he's going to be great. Similarly, I think Mike Williams has been underrated for a long time. And then he's got a lot of like bit parts that I'm like, I think that really could be something good. I love Brevin Jordan. I love Khalil Herbert.
You love Brevin Jordan?
I do. Why? I think Brevin Jordan's going to be an interesting because I think there's no one to throw the ball there to.
What about Cook? Brandon Cooks has been a 1,000-yard receiver with just the worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
You need more than one guy to throw the ball to. I think Brevin Jordan came on a bit strong at the end of second half of the season. Like I think he could be decent. And I like Michael Carter as well. I think like people are just assuming that Breece Hall is going to get the lion's share of the work, and he probably will. But even if it's like a 70-30 split, and Carter gets some catches, this is a PPR league, and I think Carter still carries some value. So, like, I think that this roster has some pieces that are clear. Oh man, I'm not a fan of David Montgomery, and I think his value is dipping. Tyler Higbee is not my favorite. Ryan Tannehill might be out of a job at the end of the year. He's smart to have the replacement on roster, in Malik Willis. But, there's just a lot of players here that you can't cut, but they're not really great starters either. Naheem Hines, Noah Fant. Like, there's players on this team that it doesn't feel like it's in a full-on rebuild, and there's not enough there to be like, this is one of the top teams. So I don't think it's a playoff team. I think he's got a long way to go, unfortunately.
It's interesting. This is a team that kind of has not made a ton of moves, has kind of waited around, and in some ways the market has shifted in his favor. Certainly Mariota is going to be a starting quarterback again. Ramondre Stevenson looks like he's going to get a significant touches for New England, although I don't trust that very much. And Allen Robinson came around again. I wonder if all of the kind of gears are going to lock into place at the right time, or if it's going to be a team where you only have half of it in gear at any one time.
Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah. This is a middle of the pack team. I mean, this team doesn't seem like it's going to be contesting for the first overall pick. And it seems like it's going to be hard pressed to make the playoffs.
I think it's going to be hard pressed to make the playoffs. I think it's correctly named with its championship dreaming. It might be that, towards the better of the second half of the teams. So,
yeah, that's fair.
All right. Well, we didn't give any foods to this. Do you want to?
Oh no, this is clearly a potluck where nobody coordinated and everyone just kind of brought whatever they felt like bringing. And there's no real cohesion to it, but it's still a decent meal.
There might be way too many caprese salads though, because everyone was sort of like figuring it out on the fly, right? Like, sure, you do a potluck and then four people show up with caprese salads, and it's like, yeah, everybody likes a caprese salad, but that's too much.
Yeah, and I'm just not sure that there's enough meat here to make it really filling,
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on. The next team that I think we need to talk about, we're going to the Turtle Division now. So let's talk about Drew. Now, Drew, just as a reminder, he really went all in, won two titles in a row, and lost in the title game last year. So he has had quite a run off of his rebuild. There's still some pieces here that are obviously quite good. He's got Josh Allen, who many consider to be the quarterback one across the league, and he still has depth at the quarterback position with Winston and Ryan behind him. I think he's also still holding, or did he drop him? Okay. He also has Deshaun Watson. So he's waiting for the Watson turnaround. But the rest of the roster seems older, still viable.
Yeah, really old. Because you got, I mean, Josh Allen is still very much prime, but Kelsey's 33, Zeke is 27, and probably the oldest 27 that you're going to see. Brandon Cooks is 29. Miles Sanders is 25, but is on the way out.
Zach Ertz is on this roster. He's 33.
Lockett's 30. And yeah, Matt Ryan is 37. Jameis is, wait, how is Jameis only 28? I think there's something wrong. Someone check the simulation. Something's gone wrong. I'm sure Jameis Winston's 31.
Maybe. So
it seems impossible.
Yeah, and then he's got some, you know, career underperformers on this roster as well, and Miles Sanders and Alan Lazard. Like, I do think this is still a playoff team. There's too much old firepower that's going to fire. Now, like, the nightmare scenario is that too many of these guys get hurt, and then this roster just doesn't look good because the depth isn't quite as much there as it used to be. Like, even the depth is old or way too young, right? Like, you don't really want to be plug and playing Julio Jones right now. I don't think you don't want to be counting on Alexander Mattison, except 3 weeks of the year that Dalvin Cook is hurt. You really don't want to be playing Rex Burkhead in any circumstance. I don't know who Kyle Phillips is. You know, like there are guys on this team that you just don't want to be starting. So I worry about Drew's depth, but I still think he's likely a playoff team. Agree? Disagree?
Agree. This is a top half team. And he's got a couple guys who are going to be getting a lot of targets in a target poor environment. You know, Brandon Cooks, Marquise Brown, Travis Kelce, Tyler Lockett, Alan Lazard. All of those guys are probably the best pass catcher on their team. I guess Lockett's questionable whether you think that he's better than Metcalf, but I don't know. This team doesn't, it certainly isn't on the right side of the age curve, but he's got plenty of depth at quarterback and some young guys who are all right, but not much depth, as you mentioned, that's going to be startable.
Yeah, I mean, the roster reminds me a ton of Jeff D's squad that we broke down last week, right? Like, it just feels like there's plenty of performing pieces, and there's a lot of guys that you're like, now's your last chance to move him. You know, and so I'll be really curious to see how Drew handles it, because if the playoff squads, you know, jump out and have a clear need and Drew can give them something and he can pivot to a rebuild that he can do a little more on the fly because the guys that he can trade right now are producing really well, I think that's probably his best long-term move. But knowing Drew, like, there's a distinct possibility he just lets things play out and tries to win it one last time.
Yeah, I think he will. I wonder if he's already missed the expiration date on Zeke and Miles Sanders, though.
It's possible. I mean, I still think Zeke is worth it for the right team. That just nobody wants to pay for him. That's the issue, right? Like, I mean,
isn't even up there anymore. He's barely worth the first next year. In fact, he might not even be worth the first next year at this point.
I still think he's likely worth that. But yeah, it depends on which team is giving it up. So, anything else you want to say about Drew's team?
I guess the food equivalent here. I mean, this is another team that's got expiration date issues, but really only in the salads, I would say. You know, there's still the meats are still doing just fine. It's it's all of the salads are smelling questionable.
Right. You
still have them. You can still have a good meal here.
He dressed the salads like 2 days ago and then stuck them in the fridge, and they did that wilty thing.
Yeah, and the potato salad looks real questionable. And, you know, maybe he's got that carrot and raisin salad and it's smelling a little vinegary.
Ugh, nobody wants raisins, Alex. All right.
Who's next?
All right. Next up, the other turtle team is Jesse. Yeah, I like Jesse's team. You want to break it down?
Sure, I'll break it down. So Jesse's team has been very competitive. pretty much every year save one, when I think he had an injury extravaganza. If memory serves, that was the year that like Teddy Bridgewater's leg fell apart in the middle of the season. But this has been a fairly competitive team, well drafted throughout, and should be a competitive team this year, although there are some clear holes in the starting lineup. And I think you have to start with a running back. He's got Christian McCaffrey, who should be a top two running back anytime he's healthy. The question is, how often is that going to be? His only other running back who's even remotely worth starting is James Robinson, who's both coming back from injury and on Jacksonville, and maybe not their starter.
He also has James Cook, but we don't know what that's going to look like yet.
Yeah, James Cook could end up being the lead rusher there, or he could end up getting only, you know, light usage. You know, we may see a lot more Singletary and Zach Moss, and we don't know how much they're going to run the ball overall.
So I guess then the question is the rest of the starting lineup so good that he can overcome basically punting a second running back? I mean, Jesse's team is the one that screams acquire a running back most of all. Prescott is a very good quarterback. Davis Mills is very strong as a number two, and maybe not very strong, but serviceable. McCaffrey, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Freiermuth, Thielen, Smith-Schuster. That's not a bad starting lineup. It's just the second running back.
Yeah, I would say that we don't know what we're going to see out of Juju this year. We know that Thielen is declining. And, you know, just today, breaking news, the Vikings traded for former Dynasty darling Jalen Reagor. So they're clearly looking to augment their receiver room. I think that this is probably Thielen's last year as a starter, and it may be his first year as not a starter, if that makes sense.
Yeah. As I look at this roster, though, like, he's short a quarterback as well. Like, I'd feel better if he had one more quarterback, even if it's not a great starter, just somebody.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and Joe Flacco for whatever, 1 or 2 weeks is not going to be it. Yeah, this team is really on the knife's edge, where this team is if any of you play Bridge, it's aces and spaces. He's got some very good players, and then he's got some below average backups in the starting lineup. You know, Davis Mills is not starting. Like, here on the website, percent started is 0.3% of leagues are starting Davis Mills. 2.5% of leagues are starting James Robinson. 36% are starting Juju. You know, these are not good numbers.
Yeah. Yep.
And his only decent depth is at tight end, which is arguably the only position that he doesn't need depth at.
Yep.
Not that Freiermuth is a world beater, but this team doesn't have a lot of depth. Obviously, Robinson, McCaffrey have injury histories, as does Juju. Go ahead.
Nobody has an easy time withstanding the major injury bug. This is the team that can handle it the least. This is the one where it's, oh yeah, that's a playoff team. Oh wait, they finished in third to last. What happened was ... You know, and it's not that hard to fill in the blanks. I agree with you, but I still think it's an upper half team. And I also think that, you know, of all the teams we've talked about, this is the one where I would be pushing the chips in the most. He does have young pieces that he can move. If I were him, I'd be moving them for now guys, you know, and seeing if I can make a run.
Yeah. I mean, the options are to do that, to wait until something either good or bad happens, probably bad happens, and then move to sell or sell now.
Right.
You know, but either way, you're probably going to have to make moves before the end of the year, or you're going to end up drafting, you know, fourth. Because there's just no way that this team holds it together over the season with no depth and an oft-injured bunch of starters.
So
I don't think this is a playoff team. This doesn't look like a playoff team to me.
You're changing your tune. It's not a playoff team.
I never said it was. You said it was.
Yeah, I actually think when you play this back, you're going to hear yourself say, I think this is a playoff team. In fact,
did I say that?
You did. And I'm very excited to hear you talk about that on the
it's
next
possible
gospel.
I did. I don't know yeah. why I said that.
So
I might have changed my mind. I'm not sure this is a playoff team.
Well, so barbecue wise though, this is, he brought a couple New York strips and he also brought like a Trader Joe's pre-made guacamole and not the fresh cut. Like,
well,
right.
This is like a keto guy who has a barbecue and there's a lot of meat there. And you're like, that's great. But is there a bun for the burger? And he's like, nah. And you're like, really? No buns? And he's like, I don't allow buns in the house. And you're like, that's weird. So you'll eat fine and you'll fill up, but it's definitely a little sketchy.
I have a feeling when you listen to that one back again, you're going to be like, I didn't know where I was going when I started. I decided to double down in the middle. And then there was a long pause. And I was like, well, I'm in this far, so I'm going to keep going with my bunless burgers.
Yeah, man. No rice, no noodle, no pasta salad, nothing. Just a bunch of meat.
Okay. Let's move on. Jesse, I hope you buy. I think now's the time, dude. I'm looking back at the league. I think it's time to move on to your team, Alex. And this is the second time we're going to be covering it, but much has happened since. In fact, maybe I just give you the floor to talk about the rebuild you're kind of trying to do on the fly here. Why don't you walk us through your offseason?
Yeah, so I mean, I haven't done all that much. I made one trade with you where I moved Rodgers and Mark Andrews from the Ravens for Rashad Bateman, Devontae Smith. What was it? One? What pick was it? 111?
Dawson Knox and 111, which you turned.
Dawson Knox and 111. Yeah.
111, and I believe that you turned 111 into Kenny Pickett, or was
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I had another one of these teams that looked a lot better a while ago. And I was just trying to get younger without bottoming out, because I don't love, selling everything, not having startable players and finishing last. It just isn't as fun for me. And it feels like a full season off. Even if you get a better pick for it, I just don't enjoy that part. So I want to try to stay competitive as I do it, which I know is trying to have your cake and eat it too. But given the players that I have, I think there's already a lot of variance there. There's a decent amount of variance in Lamar Jackson, just as my only quarterback who's guaranteed to start the year. And, my other quarterbacks are Kenny Pickett and Sam Howell. Like, not a ton there. I think Pickett will be starting before the end of the year, but I may only have one quarterback for a while. I still have a bunch of old receivers. Mike Evans is still on my team. Devontae Parker, Odell Beckham are still on my team. And I'm not sure if any of them are going to, I think Mike Evans will probably give me good points, but I don't know about anyone else. I'm pleased with some of my younger wide receiver talent. Like, I like Olave, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, Rashad Bateman. I think that that's a fine core to build around. I think AJ Dillon could end up being a very good running back, but he'll probably always be part of a committee. I'm not sure what to think of Travis Etienne, but at least he's young.
He couldn't
have a worse season than last year.
This is a team that has a very wide range of outcomes, and it's really tough to know exactly what to expect. You're right. The one quarterback thing really hurts. Like, I think if you're about scoring points right away, then the right play is to take one of these young guys and trade him for a veteran quarterback that's going to start. But that's not what you're trying to do. I think you're comfortable being in the middle or even bottom middle and just trying to have these young guys develop on the fly. There's so many interesting young pieces here, right? Like Smith, Bateman, Brown, Olave, not to mention some of the late dart throws that you had this year, I like, in Shakir and Austin. I think, even Valdez-Scantling is interesting this year. I'm very curious to see if he gets the lion's share of the work in Kansas City. And if so, like, suddenly you might be able to either play him regularly or flip him for something better than he's probably worth. So I think it's a good transition year for this team. It'll be an exciting time to watch and just pay attention to how you handle it. But if anyone can handle it, it's you.
Yeah, thanks. I have a bunch of pieces on the bench that are probably the wrong pieces for me to have. Like, I don't think that this team should have Beckham, Devontae Parker, Njoku, Valdez-Scantling, like those are not good places for this team, but they're too good to drop. So I'm kind of stuck in the middle on them.
Yeah, I have the barbecue analogy for you. Okay. I feel like you didn't show up with anything. You showed up with a bag of groceries from Whole Foods that you just bought. And some of it's like farmer's market stuff. It's really good. We're just not sure what you're going to try to make yet, right? It's like it would have helped if there was something prepared instead of just a bag of groceries.
That's fair. I mean, what I'm trying to make is a championship next year.
That would be a fast turnaround. If you do that, it would be very impressive.
So, I mean, a lot of it's going to depend on Kenny Pickett, honestly. If Pickett turns into, 90% of Ben Roethlisberger by the end of the season, I'll be a contender next year. If not, who knows?
Fair enough. All right, I think we have one team left to cover. It is the Star team. Yeah, it's Star's team. Now, I think Star would be the first to tell you that he was really trying to bottom out starting about like last season, and he didn't even have his picks. So it was pretty painful. I got to give him some credit. Like, he has managed to acquire some pieces that feel like the right pieces for the future. But this, in my opinion, is the roster that has the longest way to go to being competitive.
This is the worst team.
So like, he's churning right now. I don't know how many of you were paying attention to all the moves he just made, but let's start with the good. I really do think that Pittman and Debo are, very good 1-2 at the receiver position. That's actually better than several teams in the league. I'm not a good CEH fan. There is no second running back on this team. Justin Fields and Baker Mayfield are two quarterbacks that I would say might be the worst pairing in our league outside of you, who doesn't even have a second. And it's not that I don't like Fields. It's that he's not going to do anything this year. And gosh, it's almost like going back in time and talking about Salim's team, because the Justin Fields to Cole Kmet, Bears combination is like critical to his success.
There's not going to be success here. I mean, this is a team that's not competing for the playoffs. This is a team that's competing for how much it can rebuild and get the first overall pick.
Yeah. Yep. And there's a lot of like young, interesting, like drop them if they don't turn out quickly kind of guys.
I'm only seeing two foundational pieces though. I think Debo and Pittman are the two foundational pieces here. I think it's a shame that CEH doesn't look like a foundational piece. I think Fields, Cole Kmet, Rondell Moore could end up being very good. But they didn't get off to flying starts last year, and they're really going to need to turn it around this year for them not to lose a lot of their value between second year and third year. And yeah, his rookies are, I'm not in love with them. Like, I don't love Wendell Robinson. I don't love Mechie. I think Ritter has some potential. Hamler has some potential. I like Likely, except he's a backup tight end on Baltimore. So it's hard for him to really produce a lot of points, but who knows? Stranger things have happened.
And there's some pieces on this roster that are like, it's fascinating to have them on this roster, right? Like, Eno Benjamin is going to have 4 weeks this year where he's the Arizona Cardinals running back, and he's actually going to score some points. Is that what Star wants? I guess so. Jerick McKinnon like may well do decently in Kansas City. Is that what he wants? Like, I'm not so sure. Like, these are guys that are not going to have trade value at any point, and they're going to be putting up points. So I think the real travesty would be if he doesn't end up with 101. This team needs to get the 101.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I think this is the only team we've said that about, though. This is the only team that we've said this team is for sure competing for the 101. I think there's a lot of other teams, probably like four or five other teams, that are in that like second to bottom tier where something goes wrong and now they're competing for 101. But right now, they're looking at an outside shot of the playoffs.
All right. So I think we got about 5 minutes left, maybe 10. We're going to be doing this a little bit on the fly, but I'm just going to echo back to you what I think you've said over the course of these three podcasts. Okay. You went on a limb and you said that Shirley's team is a playoff team. So we got one. You said that Brophy's team is still the team to beat. We got two. You said Jamie's team is a playoff team. We got three. I think you basically said that Drew's team is a playoff team. So we got four.
I said that was the top half team, right?
That was today. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So now we're at Shirley. We're at Jeff. 1, 2. We're at Brophy. That's three. We're at Jamie. That's four. We're at Drew. That's five. So you've declared five playoff teams.
Yeah, I think Jeff is the weakest of those. I would actually probably put Jeff down into the middle tier. I'm comfortable with the other four as the top tier, though.
Okay. So maybe here's what we do. The next time that you and I podcast, I think what we do is we break down the tiers of locks for the playoffs, you know, in it to win it kind of thing. Playoff hopefuls, and then long shots and rebuilders. So we'll have four tiers. And we can split these teams up and kind of rank the league. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm trying to figure out if there is such a thing as a playoff lock. I think if there is, it's Brophy, but even that team has Brady and Jalen Hurts at quarterback and could turn around next year if those guys are not the starters for their teams. So, sure. But I think for this year, they're probably in good shape. So I think he's probably the one playoff lock. I don't know if any of the other teams are playoff locks. Do you think, I mean, we can do this next time, but do you think this is another playoff lock?
Yes, I think Jamie's team is a playoff lock, despite having 48 tight ends.
I mean, yeah, I guess. Mahomes, Wilson, Keenan Allen, Jonathan Taylor, Kittle, Amari Cooper, Pitts, Fournette. Yeah, that's probably a playoff lock. There isn't a ton of depth, but it's not terrible. What is there?
He almost didn't make it last year, but like there's just too many pieces that are going to produce. And there is, you're saying there's not a lot of depth. I think what there is there's depth that's going to provide you can start him. You may not be happy about it, but you can start him, which is better than we can say about a lot of the other teams, right? Like he's got Tony Pollard on the bench. He's got Chase Edmonds on the bench. He's got Damian Harris on the bench. That's pretty good.
Thing he can't afford is a quarterback injury. But outside of quarterback injury, I think that he's in good shape. His wide receivers are really nothing outside of three guys. And one of those guys is Gabriel Davis.
Right. So you're making a good point. If Gabe Davis emerges, which a lot of people think he will, this team looks a lot better than if he's, you know, the fourth target in Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're right. This is probably the second best team, but this team is also not balanced correctly to be, you know, a lock. You know, if the depth of this team were not way too many tight ends, and it were in fact, you know, relatively startable pieces to other positions, like a little bit more at wide receiver, a bit more quarterback, I think that this would be a lock.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair take. All right, well, let's save the rest for next time. And I appreciate your barbecue takes, even if you have the wrong take on raisins, which, you know, everybody has their faults. So, yeah. Any last thoughts from you, my friend?
No, I'm looking forward to the year. Should be a good one. And I think that there's a lot of teams that are moving in opposite directions. You know, there's teams that are on the come up and there's teams that are kind of moving down. But there isn't a powerhouse, and there's really only one team that is, you know, clearly not in contention. So it should be a really interesting competitive year where I think we should see. I don't know if that's going to mean a lot of deals or only a few deals, though. I'm not sure how it's going to play out.
Well, I think it'll probably mean a stagnant market in the beginning, but as things start to shake out, you may see people move a little quicker than usual. And I'm liking, you know, the email threads that are happening. I hope people will put their trade needs out over email and talk about it that way. We have had seasons where this league has been really quiet, and we've had seasons where this league has been on fire in terms of trades. So I have a feeling that this could be an on fire year, just based on, to your point, how many teams are really searching for their identity. And I'm excited about this season because it has felt like we've had some serious rebuilders for a while, and those teams are in it now, right? Like Steven's back, I'm back, Shirley's back, Salim even has a shot. So
yeah,
like I'll be curious to see what happens with some of these, you know, bottom of the barrel last two or three season teams ready to bounce back.
Yeah, I think you're right. As soon as injuries hit, we should see a flurry of activity of teams that are like, okay, that was all I could take. Because how many times have we said this team doesn't have a lot of depth?
Right, right. And actually, so, you know, there has been very little injury in preseason so far. Like, what's the biggest injury you've heard?
There weren't any, like, significant skill position injuries. There were a few, like, I think a couple, like, backup quarterbacks went down for a short period of time. I think Zach Wilson went down for a couple weeks. I think Sam Darnold went down for a couple weeks. I think, but like it hasn't been a lot of new injuries. And certainly I think moving to three games of preseason and a lot of teams just not playing any starters at any point or not playing their like skill position starters has really helped with that.
Yep. Yep.
All right, my friend. I didn't even realize that preseason was only 3 weeks. Did you realize that preseason was only 3 weeks until
I did? I did. And also there were a number of teams that like never even put their quarterback out there, which was kind of interesting. Right. So I know, but that's not how it's been historically. So it feels like
Tom Brady didn't even show up. I think Tom Brady was like, yeah, I'm not coming to preseason this year.
Yeah. And then, when asked about it, like he went really like vague for months and then finally spoke up. And what he said was, I had a lot of things going on.
I mean, dude's like 44 or something. He's legitimately old. I admire the fact that he's still playing. Shouldn't he just be like, I'm getting veteran rest as a 44-year-old?
Yeah, possibly. All right, Alex, we got to wrap this up. But this was fun. And,
sorry, he's 45. Hold on. He's 45 years old.
Well, robots don't age the same way as humans.
Man,
right?
So many avocados in that guy.
All right.
That guy definitely brings avocados to the barbecue. I'll tell you that much for a fact. Just like whole avocados, like a bucket of them. He just puts it there and nobody knows what to do with them.
No, he's just eating them, like probably with the skin still on. You know, he's somehow
just a spoon, just a knife and a spoon, just going at it.
Yeah. All right. On that note, the knife and the spoon and Tom Brady. We will talk to you all next time. Hopefully we'll have a guest next time. I think it's time to bring somebody in. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
All right. Till then.
Ta-ta.